Did you know that God was a baseball fan? Now, if you don't believe me, you can open your Bibles, and the first verse in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did you know that God, Jesus, has an Indian name? It's in the Bible. It's in Ephesians 2, I think it is, 20th verse, something like that. And it talks about chief cornerstone. Well, a good thing I'm not a comedian, because I don't get a very good laugh out of the jokes that I tell. But the point I'm trying to make is this. People believe things for no more reason than that. It's in the Bible. God must be a baseball fan. Or maybe he's on our side. Or Jesus is chief cornerstone, because I found it written in there. Right? And people hold on to these various beliefs with emotion. And they'll argue those beliefs. And you know what? You can't change their minds. Today, and for the next several weeks, I want to talk about what we believe and why we believe it. And I want to invite you to get a hold of me and say, why don't you cover this belief? Tell me, why do we believe such and such? Or why don't we believe such and such? This is your chance to determine what the sermon is about. And I will try to address those questions. In the meantime, I'm going to choose some subjects that I think we need to look at. And so today, what do I believe? Why do I believe that God is an awesome God? Things changed here a little bit. There we go. First of all, we have to assume, make some assumptions. And we always do make assumptions. When you have a belief, it's based on something. Whether it's based on because somebody told me, or because I observed this and it's proven itself, I can't tell you. You have to look at your own self and say, this is why I believe this. Now, if I were to say, get up on the roof of my house and start walking south, and just walk south 200, 300, 400 feet, and you're going to say, what kind of a stupid idiot are you? I'm going to get to this end of the house, and then what happens? Down I go. Because each one of you believes in the power of gravity. It's reasonable, right? And either you've been told it, or you've observed that things with no support go down, right? It's a good, solid belief. So, all Christianity has to be based on something. And so we're going to make two assumptions. The first one is, there is one and only one true God. Now, the reason we believe that is because that's what God says. But there is one true God. There are lots of other gods that we place in place. God has many names. The one we're going to use probably most often is Jehovah or Yahweh. The second assumption that we have to assume is that the Bible is His Word. If you don't want to make that assumption, if you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then I'm not going to waste my time arguing with you. I will tell you what I believe to be true, but I'm not going to argue because you will not believe what God has put before us. And that's your choice. But according to His Word, you will also be accountable for that choice. So those two things, those two rules or parameters are in place, and that's what we will talk about as we decide, this is what I believe, and this is why I believe it. We have four places we're going to look. The first one is Deuteronomy 6:42. And God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The second one I want us to look at is found in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we have the obligation to study and to use the scripture for the purposes that God has given to us. The third passage I want us to look at is from Ephesians 4:12 to 14. And here God encourages us to learn and mature in our faith so that we're not, and here's what it says, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, or by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You see, if you don't know what's in the Word of God, then everything that somebody says is potentially something that you must believe. And you have to sort it all out, and people will go this way, and they'll go that way, and they say, "Oh, that's something I ought to listen to." And as it says in His Word, we're tossed about by waves and every little cunning thing that people come up with. Some of them very deceitful. And then the fourth one is the first chapter of Genesis. We're going to talk about this awesome God. And so I'm going to give you the first chapter of Genesis. And I've illustrated it. And I'm going to read it for you. But as I do this, I want you to listen. Throughout the next, however long this takes, listen for that awesome God. Listen for how much greater God is than you are or I am. If anybody's related to those two little fellas, I wish you would rein them in and let them understand that there are some rules that we live by here. And take them under your wing because they're part of us and they need to be taught. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was without form and was empty. And darkness was over the surface of the earth, the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water." And so God made... the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky. And there was evening. And there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the dry ground land. And the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars, and God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. And so God created great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it according to their kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made wild animals according to their kinds. And livestock according to their kinds. And all the creatures that moved along the ground according to their kinds. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, and they will be yours for food. and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that hath breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the biblical story of our beginning. Since it's included in the collection that God has prepared and preserved and brought to us over literally thousands of years, then I think we need to understand that this is what he's given us to begin our study of God and of all that he's created. This is where we start to understand awesomeness of God. Now, man in his wisdom has decided, some of them, that this is not a true story. Or there are errors in this story. Or somehow this story doesn't match up with what we perceive in science. And so they dismiss what God gave us. And they say, God doesn't know what he's talking about. And when they start to say, God doesn't know what he's talking about, then he is no longer awesome God. Then it becomes awesome man. And then you no longer understand that this awesome God created everything that is. And if you understand the awesomeness of God, well, I'm sorry, you can't understand that. But if you begin to understand the awesomeness of God, then you don't say, oh, no, God, you can't tell me this. Or, no, God, you can't have that part of my life. Or, Lord, you don't merit my worship and my honor and my praise. When awesome God comes to you and says, jump, you say, where, when, how high, and how many times? Because he is awesome. What more can you say? We need to start at the very beginning and remember that God created everything. And there is nothing that was made that he did not make. Now, if we have this awesome God, do you wonder about the problems in your life? Are there worries and doubts that you can't handle? Or maybe you're one of these people, sort of like I am, that need to control things. You need to know everything and have all your ducks in a row. And your greatest fear is losing that control. How do you compare to awesome God? Maybe you're short of money. Maybe you don't know where the food for the next meal is coming from. Do you think that awesome God can't handle that? And that he's leaving it up to you? If that's what you think, then you don't have an awesome God. And believe me, if you want to compare what you or I can do with what he can do, is it any wonder that we are failing? We trust in us, not in the Creator of all that is. Isn't it just possible that the one that created the sun and the moon and the stars might have the solution for your problems? Psalm 55, verse 22 says this, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you." Let's pray together. Almighty, awesome God, if we're not close to you, it's not because you moved. It's because we wandered away. If we don't have what we need, it's not because you didn't provide it. It's because we refused to see how you gave it to us. Forgive us, Lord. Bring us close to you. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. Take control of our lives and make us your own. Help us to begin to realize the potential that you have given us and the tremendous support that you offer us, because you are awesome, God. And we come to you, not because we're worthy, but in Jesus' name.